And grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Whenever you have an installation, you ask the pastor what scripture readings you want to read. Usually that pastor picks an Old Testament lesson, an epistle lesson, and a gospel lesson. That is not what our associate pastor did. He chose Jonah. And he wanted a part of Jonah. We were talking about this service. I said, do you want selected verses? And he said, what if we read the whole book? And I don't know about you, but I was sitting there smiling through the whole thing. It was wonderful. I hope you smile at the book of Jonah. And by the way, I hope you remember that you last read Jonah when you were a child in Sunday school. We don't talk about it as adults. We put it in the Sunday school department and we left it there. It's a delightful book. I want to look at some things, but before we do, I want to say something you always have to know whenever you deal with the Old Testament. The Old Testament does not directly apply to us. You live on this side of the cross. The theology of the Old Testament is wonderful. We support the theology and the spiritual content of the Old Testament. But you cannot just take the Old Testament and clump it as a whole and drop it in your lap. And we're going to see that as we read through Jonah. I want us to look at it a chapter at a time. I'm not going to read every verse, but I want us to hear what goes on in this book. Again, you remember it as a child. The commandment of God, go to Nineveh. Nineveh is the capital of the Assyrian Empire, the enemy of Israel, a violent, destructive people, bent on power and conquest. Israel hates them, justifiably, by the way. And God says to a Jewish prophet, go to Nineveh, preach there. And he says, sure, I'll go. That's not how it goes at all, right? He goes the opposite way. From Israel, Nineveh is east. He gets on a boat to go west. I'm not going, Lord. I know what your will is. My will be done. Now, here is where not all the details apply. Pastor Colin chose this text, but I do want us to get this. Pastor Colin did not refuse to come to South Carolina. If he had done what Jonah did, right now he would be in Canada. But I do want us to get this. As I said, the principles apply, not the specifics. The call of God is a little scary. God says go, and he expects us to go. And yet in our mind, we're thinking, but where will I go? What will they be like? Where will I live? Is there a Taco Bell there? The important questions. Colin, Pastor Colin, his first call was to South Dakota. And he was in South Dakota. And now South Carolina. So it's basically half of the same name. You belong in a state that begins with the word South, but this one. So Jonah, contradicting the word of God, out in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, God goes and meets him there. You know the story, the storm. The storm was so bad, they feared for their life. It's easy enough to figure this out. Does life have storms? Oh, plenty. And we do fear for our lives. And we wonder, Lord, what are you doing? Life is full of success and heartache. It's full of success and failure. It's full of progress and stagnation. God's powerful work and that very, very difficult thing of waiting, right? Waiting. When will the Lord provide? I do love that Jonah, although he's a very bad prophet, does interpret the events theologically. There's a storm. He could say, this is just weather. But he says, this is my God. My God is at work. My God, Yahweh, is doing this. And he says to everyone there, if you want to save yourself, you have to throw me overboard. And they know what that means. They're thinking, we have to kill this man. Again, not direct application. They're willing to do it. And they pray to God, do not hold us accountable for this man's life. And the text says, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. That is delightful. 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish. What does it smell like in there? Yeah, the kids know. But the New Testament picks up this event. The words of our Savior in Matthew chapter 12. A wicked and adulterous generation ask for a sign, but none will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment against this generation and condemn it, for they repented of the preaching of Jonah, and now one greater than Jonah is here. The Old Testament is, of course, about Jesus. And Jonah, this wayward prophet, was in the fish to point to what Jesus would do. Pastor Colin, that is your proclamation. Christ has come and lived and died and rose for his people. God's unwilling prophet, imagine this, was used to predict the resurrection of the Christ, his actual life becoming a sermon. And it is the case that God is sometimes doing something beyond our comprehension. So in Jonah chapter 2, Jonah prays, what else are you going to do? It says in the text, from the belly of the fish. That means you can pray from anywhere. If you can pray from inside a fish, you can pray anywhere. Here is one of my favorite verses of all of Holy Scripture. Jonah 2, verse 10. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out. I just am looking for the reason to say vomited, that's all. There's nothing more to it than that. It's great. The fish vomited him out. The prophet at the shore in a mess. That's wonderful. And that's what church council was like. Let's say it more politely. Jonah was cast up. Does that sound better? The visual stuff is better from Holy Scripture. So you've been cast up to here. Pastor Colin, let's get started, right? Let's get started. Chapter 3. People ask me, I'm a pastor, people ask me, Pastor Walt, does the Bible have humorous passages? The answer is yes. Jonah 3, verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Right? Get it? The call, the running, the storm, the vomit. God talks a second time. Let me ask you this. Was Jonah listening? Yes. Now he is. Yes, Lord, you have my attention. And what does God say? Same thing. Go to Nineveh. Go. That's the call, isn't it? Go. Go and preach. I don't know how to say this except directly. Jonah went and preached the worst sermon recorded in the Bible. 40 more days and this town will be overturned. I mean, as a Lutheran, we have to say he didn't rightly divide law and gospel. It seems kind of heavy on law preaching. God is a God of wrath. So here's the crazy thing, and I think this is the point of the text. It is not the preaching of the pastor that saves anybody. It's the work of the Holy Spirit convicting people that Christ has come and now there's a difference. So Jonah didn't want to go, and when we got there, he preached a terrible sermon. And crazy enough, people came to faith. It says in the text, and they believed God. Now again, you can't always do direct application. Pastor Colin, this does not mean that your job is to preach terrible sermons here. But congregation, it does mean that not every sermon is brilliant. And you have to let the Lord work. It is not the pastor's winsomeness. It is not his effectiveness that saves anyone. Right? The people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast. They put on sackcloth and ashes. Even the king said, by the way, God grant us repentance in government, right? But God, he says, the king, God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. And God saw and God relented. He did not do it. And that's the goal of the ministry, to follow the call of God, to preach the word, to see people come to faith in Christ, the Savior. There is no other way. Now that's chapter 3. I do want to say, Pastor Colin, why didn't you just stop with chapter 3? Chapter 4 is terrible. It's there for a reason, and here's what it is. In chapter 4, read it again carefully later. Jonah chapter 4 is letting you know that your pastors are men. They are human. And sometimes we're really good. And sometimes we're tired and petulant. And so people came to faith. Jonah has grown a large church and he hates it. He literally says, Lord God, this is why I didn't want to come. I know that you're gracious. That's not our prayer. Not our prayer, but it does let you know that your pastors are human. Sometimes we prove it more often than I like. Both Pastor Colin and I are called here, all these brothers called somewhere to serve faithfully and well. And sometimes we get it, and sometimes I am tired and short, and I'm sorry. But it is an insight. Church, you have not called the perfect man. There is one perfect man. Just one. In him we preach. We do not preach ourselves. We preach Jesus, the Christ, for sinners. And so God reaches out to his worn out prophet, and God gently rebukes, and God calls even the pastor back. When the pastor is discouraged, the Lord will reach out to him. And that's the book. It's a great little book. God calls perfect men to some tasks he calls, or calls imperfect men to some tasks he calls imperfect women. And he does his work through them, through you. He does his work through us. I pray, Pastor Colin, that all of your sermons will surpass Jonah. But as you preach, we will remember that it's God's word and it's God's work. And it's God's Son, Jesus the Savior. It almost always goes this way in Scripture. Jonah chapter 1, verse 2. Arise, go. And so the crucified and risen Jesus commissioned his imperfect dozen, and he said, go, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them. Amen.